When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jazztown. This is the part of the show where we thank you, the ice cream truck drivers. Thank you, ice cream truck drivers. Right now, I'd like to thank Fifi, Frankie, Stinky Scoop, Galactic President, Scooperstar McScoops-a-Lot, Gray Whitaker, Greater Sunday Scoop, and Ice Blue Scoop. If you want to be an ice cream truck driver just like those fine folks, you can head on over to PreachingFun.com. PreachingFun.com is where you can go to sign up to be an ice cream truck driver, and who knows? The life you save may be your own.
I would also like to thank them, Jacob.
We have, as a team...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on plant protection supplies now at Menards. Defend your garden with Triazicide Insect Killer. Its fast-acting formula protects lawns, vegetables, and many other plants. It kills more than 260 insects by contact, above and below ground. Choose from ready-to-spray, concentrate, or granular. Save big money on Triazicide Insect Killer at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Thank the ice cream truck drivers.
Okay, got it.
Now.
Okay.
I feel good about that.
Good.
Hey, Johnny. Do you want to go to an ice cream social?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great. Let's go.
Celestia Ward is with us here, host of Squaring the Strange, etc. By etc., I mean also an amazing artist.
Yeah.
We welcome her back. She was a part of Scoop Fest, our last Scoop Fest.
And will be again.
Hell yeah.
Time for Matt Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. Sitting across from me, snacking on something. Paul Mattingly.
Across from me, not snacking on shit. That's Mr. Matt Don.
There's Jacob, the audio guy.
I'm a snack. We're preaching fun.
These are gourmet gummy bears.
Gourmet gummy bears?
Yeah, something about that description
What kind of
some flags in my head.
Are they the girly ones that are like mojito and Cosmo flavored?
No, but they are 12 different flavors. And they're from a company called
the Rockefellers use.
Company right. Called Bedford Candies, established in 1929. And these are
made from the hooves of thoroughbred horses.
So good. Only in Pennsylvania. Only in Pennsylvania. And my dear wife got me these while she was on vacation with her sister because she knows I love me a fucking gummy bear.
You know, there's a gummy issue right now in the United States.
Oh, yeah?
An issue?
Yes. Children are taking melatonin gummies, and they like the gumminess aspect. So we have a spike in children going to hospitals due to
melatonin,
too much melatonin
OD?
In their system.
Yeah. You can go to I didn't know you could OD on melatonin.
Right.
I'm very skeptical as to whether or not you actually can. I'm going to have to look some stuff up.
Yeah. Swearing the Strange will do a better job of this than me, but me, I'm just retorting Yahoo News.
We all have our lanes.
Their various sources.
Yeah.
But no, I guess, and the article was not clear, and this is why I'm curious why someone more skeptical would tackle this. I'm curious if this is being done on purpose. Are kids purposely trying to take too much melatonin to see what happens or to hurt themselves?
Or whether just it's trying just to like, go to sleep.
I can't stop eating these gummies. Well,
generally, the concern with putting medicine in gummies is that a kid... And like below the age of reason, like a 5-year-old kid,
right,
will be like candy and eat like
right.
1,200 of them, and meanwhile, yeah. You know, mom
the
and dad
metamucil
are like,
fiber, their fucking
oh no, those
out.
Were my THC gummies or something.
I remember one time when I was a kid, I had these vitamins that I really, you know, they were just chewy mm-hmm. vitamins, whatever. They weren't the gummies, but they were just the chewy vitamins, and I really liked the taste of them, and so I was probably 4 years old or something like that. And I apparently got into the bottle and just ate all of them. And my parents called the hospital to be like, is this bad?
Our kid just ate a fuck ton of vitamins.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
And the hospital's like, I'd be fine.
Like, he's going to have such good bones.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to have such good bones.
Yeah, my boners are great to this day.
I used to sneak into the closet in my mom and dad's bathroom with the tube of close-up cinnamon toothpaste and eat that.
Ah.
Oh, you were a toothpaste eater.
You're a filthy toothpaste eater.
I love that fucking cinnamon close-up toothpaste. I can taste it right
now. A melatonin overdose is not likely to be life-threatening, but it can cause side effects. By the way, an overdose can be as little as 8 milligrams.
Okay.
So you can take too much melatonin apparently pretty easily. A regular dose for an adult is 3 to 5 milligrams daily. Doses over 8 milligrams aren't recommended. Overdose is not likely to be life-threatening, but it can cause side effects such as headaches, nausea, dizziness, and you're going to like this last one,
third
drowsiness.
Nipple.
Oh. Yeah.
but I think
those are the classic.
I don't know if that's a side effect.
Non-specific symptoms that really anything will do.
Right.
So, yeah, if you have too many sandwiches,
it'll do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have too much anxiety, it could lead to stomach aches and nausea.
But
and
melatonin is supposed to make you sleep better, right?
Yeah.
So I take melatonin all the time.
Yeah.
And the fact the 8 milligram thing just weirded me out because I was like, oh, shit, I feel like sometimes because I have 3 milligram tablets.
Sometimes you pop 3.
So I feel like on the road, I'm positive I've popped 3.
Yeah.
So I've gone to 9 milligrams, guys, and that explains why I've been so drowsy.
Does it work for you, Matt? Does it knock you out?
Well, I don't know why I got something caught in my throat right when I started talking. I was like,
are you roofing yourself? Is that what's happening? You're not really.
I'm eating gummies right now. I can't stop. He's so drowsy.
There's the natural experiment there, the proof in the pudding. You don't see guys trying to roofie women with melatonin.
There you go.
So I'm doubting the effectiveness.
Not trying. Yeah. They're succeeding.
And the frat bro parallax. This is how we test it out. Basically, it's supposedly the supplements. You're supposed to take them about a half hour before you want to sleep. It's supposed to encourage that to have happening. It started with me during the pandemic. I could not fall asleep during the pandemic.
And gosh,
so I started
why not?
Taking it was a me thing.
No, I was going to say, you're alone on that one, pal.
No, nobody had anxiety explaining or insomnia that during the pandemic.
Yeah. Nobody still does.
Does anyone else look back at the lockdown with just a wistfulness?
Sometimes, yeah.
And that was the thing. I remember listening to, I'm forgetting the author's name. Cocoa Puffs and whatever. Shit, it'll come to me. It'll come back to me. Great author, funny guy. But he was saying, he goes, while we were all in like existential dread and talking about how fucking crazy it was, he goes, you know, these pieces are coming. The pieces of, I actually miss the lockdown. I miss the simpler times. I miss focusing on family.
Well, the other night, SJ and I were sitting outside before I had
Chuck Klosterman.
Oh, there you go.
Woo!
Nailed it.
I had melatonin brain.
Yeah. It's a little nauseous. No, the other night, SJ and I were sitting outside by the fish pond. And just kind of enjoying the fish.
Tossing melatonin to the guppies. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Knocking out my fish.
And we were like, oh, during COVID, we did this every day.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was lovely. Yeah. You know, we both had our evenings free, and we would just sit outside right around sunset, by the pond, watch the sunset, hang out with the fish. It was great. And then I was rudely taken out of that whole piece. And I was furious about it for several reasons, as you're going to soon discover. I got an alert on my phone that said $5,000 had just been debited from my bank account.
Oh, no.
And I haven't bought anything for exactly $5,000. I don't mean it was like $4,800 or something like that.
It was
5,000.00. I was like, well, this is weird. So I open up my bank app, and I see that the IRS has taken $5,000 out of my bank account.
What kind of organization is this IRS? What kind of scam deal?
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
It's a confidence scheme is what it is. And so I start looking at it, and I said to SJ, I was like, the IRS just took $5,000 out of my bank account, and I'm not thrilled about that, and I'm confused. And so I got on the phone to my bank, which is Chase. So I got on the phone to Chase, and I was like, I don't know if I'm reporting a fraudulent charge. I need you to tell me, is this actually the IRS Or is this
Good talk.
Is this something that has put IRS in their name, but they're a scam thing? Or is this really
my melatonin fog, I would have been like, I guess the government came and went.
That's it.
It's the Indonesian Revolutionary Society.
That's right. That's right. I was like, if it's that IRS, then I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I need them Indonesians to revolt.
You support the cause.
I do. I'm always a supporter. And, so it turned out that our accountant that we have been with for, I think, 14 years, I had cleared them because we always, inside baseball, we always owe at tax time. Tax time rolls around because of the nature usually of SJ's gigs and everything. There's a lot of, a lot of 1099 stuff. And we always file an extension, which was the other thing. Like, we haven't filed our taxes yet. We filed an extension through our accountant, but we haven't filed our taxes yet. So why are they already taking money out?
Yeah.
And so our accountant has some new assistant accountants this year.
Yeah.
And so one of them in the accountant paperwork had said, yo, how much money do you want us to debit out of your account, or what account do you want us to put any potential refund into? So, you know, put my account number and everything in there. And then I said, because we always owe somewhere between $1,500 and $3,500 is usually about normal.
Bum, bum, bum!
So I had put in there up to $5,000, just debit it straight out of this account.
Right.
And SJ reminded me of that. She was like, that's the number that was on that form. I was like, fuck, you're right. That's true. And so we get a hold of the accountant the next day, which, of course, doesn't help anything that this happens at like 8:30 at night. And you can't get hold of the account at 8:30 at night, so I've got to sleep on this and be concerned about it. And
plus,
everything.
At that time, you guys were sleeping in the koi pond.
I hope you had a lot of melatonin.
Right, I didn't. That was the problem.
Okay.
So we get a hold of them the next day, and they say, "Oh, what we did was we just authorized the IRS to go ahead and take that $5,000 out, and then anything that's left, you'll just get that back in your refund when we file."
Good job.
I was like,
good job, accountants.
We've been with this firm for 14, 15 years, and we've never done this.
No.
Why would you think we want to do this now?
Yeah, you're loaning the government money for
free. Yeah, why would you loan them more than you owe?
Here's the favor we did you.
Yeah. What the fuck? That's awful.
And of course, now there's nothing to do about it.
Right.
You know,
right.
It will come out in the wash eventually.
But what a headache.
In the next, like, 2 months when we finally get our taxes done. I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, no, like the assistant, he's like, oh, no, this will save you on the interest that you
bullshit.
Normally pay each year. But our interest that we usually pay each year is like $40.
Right.
Yo, it's not crippling interest or anything that we're paying.
The IRS charges like 5% max.
That's it.
There's like laws against how much the IRS can charge.
Correct.
Yeah. Having the heart attack given to you when you get that notice is, I'd give $40 to not have that happen.
Exactly.
Please. Yeah.
No. We pre-ordered the surf and turf with the Banana Foster flambe table side ahead of time. But if you order less food, they'll give you money back at the end of the meal.
Fine.
You're welcome.
Thank. I don't feel like I should be thanking you.
Another service of me to the citizens of this country.
Also, goodbye. We pay a large amount of money to this accountant every year. I'm like, feel free, based on the amount of money that we're paying you, just give me a heads up.
Yeah.
Explain this to me like I'm an idiot.
Right.
I'm just thinking about how funny it'd be if the IRS tried to charge me $5,000 at once. What would happen?
Yeah, same here.
And I'm like,
that's going to be.
What if that had overdrawn my account?
That's going to overdraw. That would overdraw the shit out of me. Yeah.
That would be unpleasant.
Yeah.
I think if you put the three of us together, we might have $5,000 in our account right now.
We have to call each other. Did we all get charged right now for $5,000?
And by the way, it's not like that account had like $50,000 in it.
No, I'm saying.
That account had like $6,000 in it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, it's not safe.
It was under, but it wasn't under by much.
And with my stupid account with Bank of America, who I've had forever, they have decided to, anytime my account dips below $2,000, they ding me for another $15 every month. And
what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time to get a new bank, buddy.
Dude, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I've got an account with the Federal Credit Union, and I'm going to change it over in the coming year or so. But so basically, my account is whatever is above $2,000. That's my money. I don't even count that $2,000 anymore
because
I don't want to be losing that $15.
You just moved the zero line. Moved the zero line $2,000 higher than where everybody else has their zero line.
Precisely. Precisely. That $2,000 is not even real money to me until I can transfer.
I don't have that either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just letting you know.
But I don't always have that $2,000. I'm lucky it's there right now, but like until I get my other job going, like, I've been out of work.
I travel the country, try to make extra money, being a magician, super fun. But all I picture is just shoveling coal.
I've been out of work so long.
For my kiddos is coming.
Next month, it's going to be really close to pushing that 2,000 line.
I'll be surprised if I don't get dinged. It's not expensive to have a kid for the first year.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They just sit there.
So you have a kid, you go like, oh, fuck, my whole financial world's going to go upside down. And all of a sudden, for the first year, you're like, it's kind of not bad. It's kind of not.
Well, because a lot of people give you stuff.
A lot of people give you stuff.
You get all that. The breast milk is just there.
The food source not being something I get from Vons. Yeah. Super helpful.
Sure.
And they don't eat much even in that first year. Even if they're eating solid food.
Right.
They can go one can of goober.
Even when they start eating solid food. I mean, you know, like first of all, we bought into the lie that if you get kids to eat vegetables early, they'll keep their appetite for vegetables.
So bullshit.
We made our baby food.
Yeah,
we blended our baby food. We made
blended
broccoli, sweet potato, avocado.
I know for a fact that did not work on your children.
The cost of the newborn is time.
You would think if that were true, then we would have blended hot dogs and chicken fingers and pizza.
Yeah.
And spoon fed them.
Yeah, the cost is time.
I
eat like two or three meals with your children a year, and I know for sure that didn't work.
Celestia, did you guys do a rundown on the bullshit of blending broccoli and shit and making sure, like, trying to adjust children's taste buds early on? Did you call the bullshit?
We haven't looked into the formation of children's tastes. There's all sorts of things that go into what makes a picky eater.
Right.
They're finding that, you know, that's actually one of the things with autism. Autistic kids have really picky menus. Like, and there was a news story about some kid. I say kid. He was like 22.
Okay.
Who died because he was eating nothing but potato chips. Like, that was his meal.
That doesn't have enough vitamins and nutrients in there to sustain a human being?
Surprisingly not. And
interesting.
So all these news stories proliferated about malnutrition, I think, is what it was.
Okay.
I'm
just curious, like, what starts to go first?
All these news stories made fun of the guy. Like, oh, look at this idiot. He's eating just potato chips.
Oh, that's terrible.
Like, and people who know what's what were like, the news stories didn't cover disordered eating and the fact that this kid had neurological issues.
Misdiagnoses.
He was diagnosed autistic, but they just didn't cover that in the news stories. So media literacy is one of my...
Oh, that sucks.
One of my...
No, it's tough. Recently, listening to a deep dive, Open Arguments, the deep dive on the Boston Marathon bombing.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I've forgotten how much terrible... I've forgotten what a terrible job media did. Calling for manhunts on the wrong people.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Reporting things that Anonymous was digging up.
Yeah.
Didn't Reddit get into that and, like, find, like, somebody who totally was not...
They found
not
a guy who was on the roof who didn't react properly, and so they were trying to create a manhunt for the guy on the roof. So they were trying to dox the guy on the roof and track him down. When they said it was a missing college student, there was a group of people who had a student missing from Providence College, the same college that the terrorist went to.
Mm-hmm.
And so people mistook... the missing person for saying the missing person was the Boston bomber.
Oh.
And so people started harassing the family of someone whose child was missing before the bombing.
Oh, my
God.
Did they ever find that person?
Did the family appreciate that harassment, or did they not appreciate the harassment?
There's no such thing as bad press. Am I right, guys?
Hey!
Attention is attention. So they had to take down all the website stuff they had for resources for helping find their child.
Oh, my God.
No, the family did.
Yes, while the manhunt was on for the actual Boston bomber because of the heartache it was causing.
And wasn't the Marathon bomber, wasn't that the one where a lot of news agencies started focusing on how good-looking one of the bombers was?
I forget, but that might be part of it.
I think that was one of those, too.
Yeah.
He was a young athletic college kid or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. We bring up media literacy.
And that was the same thing. That was the same deal where the people, they took out the full page newspaper ad on, like, put the Central Park Five to death.
No, that was former President Donald Trump.
No, he was the president, Matt. He wouldn't have done that.
No, I understand.
That's a ridiculous thing to do.
But he wasn't president then when he did it. So,
in fairness, that was an ad that was bought and paid for. That was not media.
Oh, good point.
You're right.
That was you can
good point. That's a good egg.
I reversed my stance completely.
I could right now take out an ad in any newspaper and say, you know, that, you know, Matt Donnelly has syphilis, and that would be my right. Well, I'd probably be sued by you for libel.
That's true.
But that would be an
Matt
ad.
Matt don't even have $5,000 in his bank account to hire a lawyer.
I can't afford to sue.
Riddle me this, Celestia. Riddle me this, Celestia. Can you just go ahead and buy an entire social media company and then amplify Nazi voices and consider that an ad?
Oh, that's ridiculous. I could never imagine a world in which that would take place.
But that's not major media, so another good egg. Yep. Another good egg.
Oh, God damn it.
I'll tell you who else is fine with all of those things, and that is the following sponsor.
Today's show, Matt and Manley's Ice Cream Social, is brought to you by... I had to hit mark as used. Wicked Whiskey Wacky Willie from New Hampshire Caveman from 2023. This is Wicked Whiskey Wacky Willie.
Hey there, partners. Are you looking to try and get yourself some sex on, but you don't want to actually do it? Well, why don't you try Whiskey Willie's Wacky what is it called?
Wicked Whiskey Wacky Willie.
Wicked Whiskey's Wacky Willie. All you got to do is have yourself a drink of this here whiskey, and your Willie won't get hard at all. You'll be having whiskey
that?
Dick.
That looks so wacky.
Yeah, it looks pretty wacky. Don't touch
That's
it.
That's like the little toy from the 80s where you can't quite get a
like
grip on
wacky
it.
Like a wacky wall walker, exactly.
I want to punch it like a speed bag in the gym.
You would want to do that. Oh, my penis.
Oh, that's nice.
My incredibly flaccid penis. And as much as I want to have sex with the town whore, I can't do it. It's like trying to shove a clam into a slot machine. It just doesn't happen.
Is the clam still in its shell, or is it just the...
I should rephrase that. It's like trying to shove an oyster into a Coke machine. How about that?
I have a similar question. Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
The metaphor is trying to shoot pool with a rope.
Is that
but
the
I
metaphor?
Like yours too.
I prefer I like yours too. Trying to shove a snail through a pinhole. How about that?
Enter Hay Scoops at checkout.
Wait, so I'm trying to think what we were tethered to. I know I can go all the way back to melatonin, but because I was hanging out with Gray and Austin,
yes,
our Aussie friend, and he basically in Australia you can't get melatonin. You can't get melatonin supplements. You can't buy melatonin
because it's they like, hate their population.
Controlled substance it's, there,
yeah.
Oh
no! You can get it there, prescribed. Man. You can get it there.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. They call it melatonin.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah. You were up there. I'd like some melatonin. What do you want, mate? I don't know. I got lots of stuff back here, but nothing that sounds like that. Sorry. And the next guy comes up. I'd like some melatonin. Sure enough, Bonzaroo. Jack's your uncle. Here you go.
Jack's your uncle.
Kiwi Kickapoo. Kiwi Kickapoo, have yourself an Outback. What? Huh?
You can just get bottles of codeine.
That's what I said. I was like, but you can get codeine over there, right? Because if I get codeine, I'm not taking melatonin.
I don't need the melatonin anymore.
And he goes, right, but there they kind of like shame you for asking. Like you can get it, but they have to go like, are you really sick? Are you feeling sick?
Wait, how do they say it?
Paul.
Bonzaroo, you really feeling bad, mate? You got a real tummy ache? Is that what's happening? Before you go ahead and place this order, I got an educational video to play you real quick because we're trying to shame you, mate. And here we have Australia's own version of Dolly Parton. Here she comes, ladies. Oh, video starting. Codeine. I'm begging you, please stick to melatonin.
So codeines are essentially the Australian version of an abortion. That's what I'm hearing here.
They'll give it to you, but they shame you first.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, for
I would
fest,
be honestly fine if we just kept
meet
it
up
that
and
way.
Trade.
Yeah, for real.
Yes.
God damn, I'm so sick of it. It's making me crazy. This country is making me crazy.
Well, then go to Australia. You get codeine and just go to bed.
Codeine.
Because I like hearing that because I know that just wouldn't work in America. Right?
Codeine?
Like,
to just be able to go
sure?
up and get
you're
codeine?
Really yeah, I'm really fucking sick. Give me my fucking codeine.
Yeah.
Let's pass out in your alley.
Let's just role play this. I'll be a pharmacist. Go ahead.
Yeah, in America, it goes backwards.
I would like some codeine, please.
I mean, we've got some. I can sell you some, but I just have to ask. Are you very sick? Do you really need the codeine?
Yep. Sure am. Yep. Super sick.
I feel like you kind of just brushed that question off.
Yeah. That's my sick talking. That's how I sound when I'm super sick. I sound dismissive and apathetic. That's a side effect of a nasty, nasty cold.
I'm not calling you a liar. I want to make that very clear. I'm not calling you a liar.
Thank you.
I feel like you're not being entirely truthful with me, though. Are you? Let me just ask you again. Are you really sick? Do you really need this
there
codeine?
There are some other facts at hand.
I'm sorry. I'm the supervisor here. I'm the supervisor here. Excuse me.
My supervisor's here.
Yeah.
Are you trying to buy? Is this gentleman trying to buy some codeine?
That's what he's trying to buy, yeah. And I asked him if he was really sick and if he really needed it. He says that he is, and he does.
All right. Well, sir, I have one final thing before you do that. I have an educational video that we have here with America's own
my babies in
Dolly
the car?
Parton. I'd like you to listen to this this quick video from
the
America's own
Dolly. Up and the engine is not running.
The video's starting.
Okay, got it.
Codeine. It'll still cost you $8,000 with your copay.
Man, Dolly is making a mint off doing these codeine videos around the world.
You still wanna pay the money for the codeine?
I can't afford it. Can I just give you my baby in the car?
Well, I think you've done the right thing. You've basically done the late term abortion that we're not providing anymore.
I hear they happen all the way up to 9 months.
Oh, yeah. I hear they haven't passed that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's not get. I know.
In Las Vegas, a rolled up car window in 105 degree heat is what we call late term abortion. That's right.
Hey, Gilbert. Well, too soon, buddy.
My car didn't remind me I left the kid in the back seat. I stopped at the daycare, but for whatever reason, I absentmindedly didn't take him inside. Oh, boy, is my face red. Not as red as my cooked infant, mind you, but red nonetheless. Oh, boy.
Jesus Christ.
What a day that was. Talk about the toughest thing was explaining it to the babysitter. No, he's just a little sunburned, I said. She didn't believe me. On account of the not breathing. What?
I don't know how to support or end this bit.
Here, I'll transfer it over. I actually had the horrifying thought of children in cars today on my mind as I drove here.
Okay.
Because my iPhone stopped working.
Right.
Due to the heat in my car. And
it's early summer.
Awful
it's already
herald of summer to come here.
First sign that you're like, oh shit, I can't leave things in my car anymore.
Yeah, the sunlight hits your phone for like all of 2 minutes so I can run in and get myself a soda at the convenience store. You come back and it's like boop. Temporarily inactive.
Temperature warning.
It's too hot for circuits to work.
I think we've all talked about this in different ways, but yeah, there are a few rites of passage that every Nevadan has to pass when you're adjusting
deal
to
with
the heat.
You move here.
You got to burn your hands on the steering wheel. You got to burn your hands or body on the seatbelt. And you got to have a chapstick/crayon.
Oysters in the slot machine.
In the slot machine. Chapsticks or crayons ruin your fucking interior. Yeah, and then shove that oyster in the slot machine. Mm-hmm. Yep. Or have soda cans explode when you leave them in the car.
Oh,
that's a fun
one.
Oh,
I got my kid a Happy Meal. And you know how they come with the little mini milk?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You had a mini milk explodo?
I left it in the car as I got, you know, the kid and the rest of the Happy Meal, and I forgot his milk in the car. And this was my, like, I had just bought this brand new tuxedo black interior car. New to me, anyway.
Uh-huh.
Tuxedo black in the desert?
Tuxedo black interior, which means it's like black with silver lining. It's just
that still sounds like it's hot
gorgeous.
And sticky.
In the sun. Black well, after interior. The milk after the milk exploded, it was hot and sticky.
Yeah.
So
hey, when did McDonald's become like a post RoboCop hellscape? It had been a minute since I've been in one, and I went on recently with my kid, and I was like, "What the fuck happened in here?" Like, they make it so, like, you can't see a human. Like, the staff kind of pokes out from the kitchen.
Yeah, it's all robot. It's all, like, the touchscreen stuff now. Yeah.
So you walk in now, and there's basically, there's not even, like, you can't even see the big menus up on the top of the you know, ceiling, the walls anywhere.
Wait, this is when you go inside.
Inside.
Yeah.
So it's like a fucking like a supermarket door. It just opens and closes on its own. There's no hinge. You don't open and close.
Oh, so the automatic sliding door, yeah.
And then there's just like basically a little bunker. They have a little bunker cubby. The kitchen's all happening behind it, but it's all closed off.
All the employees are downstairs. There's a dumb waiter that like creaks up your food from the basement. No, I'm kidding.
but that it would is be like great. So you have all these screens. So they basically just want you to go up the screens and touch screens and don't interact with a human. And so, like, they just come out to shove food on a thing. They don't even announce your number.
Yeah, the numbers are on, like, even... a little, like a thing from the airport. You got to check your flight.
Like they're basically, like, it's like, why the fuck did you come in? It was kind of, like, the whole message that I got. And so my kid wanted, like, plane stuff. And so I'm trying to get plane stuff made. They didn't make it right. And I'm trying to basically walk back behind the counter.
Right.
To get someone's attention to be like, I need a human. To just interact with me for just a few moments.
I just need a little help.
Get my fucking order right.
Well, can I tell you, Matt, that with a spouse who is in that arena, I can tell you expressly that that is completely by design.
No, that's what I'm wondering. It is.
They are working to dissuade walk-in customers because
they want you to drive.
Drive-through is where the money's at.
Oh, okay.
And it's also thing we don't consider, but with especially within our litigious society, the liability goes down like 80-fold when it's just hand food.
Oh, because a lot of people inside on the property,
right?
Well, weirdly, I gotta say, my experience recently. Again, I've got a 5-year-old kid now. They seem to
Are they right now?
They've pumped a lot of their saved money.
Oh, and people are going to be concerned. It is her kid. Yeah, it's not like she has acquired a 5-year-old kid.
Just found a 5-year-old kid
now.
Like, yeah.
The McDonald's Playlands have gotten way better.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And there are some Playlands here in Vegas that are just amazing. And on the way back from the Eclipse, my husband and I threw the kid in the car. We all went to the Eclipse.
Oh, good.
It was fantastic.
Where'd you go?
We went to Mason, Texas, and apparently nobody else did because it was really smooth sailing both ways. But we hit Roswell on the way back.
Oh, nice.
There, have you ever been to the major McDonald's in Roswell, New Mexico?
It's got a UFO coming out of it, right?
It's shaped like a giant UFO in the front.
Great.
With like blingy lights all over it.
Yeah. Nobody leans into their shtick better than Roswell.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roswell understands who they are, what they are. They say, we're happy with it. Yes, we'll just lean into this alien shtick.
Yeah, we're driving. It's like, you know,
this
sunset.
Way better
than
Ghost Town paraphernalia.
We're trying to make it back in time. We're like, oh God, we got to go. And we saw this and we're like, no, we're stopping. Yeah.
Nice.
Pulled in there, spent like the best hour ever. I think my kid remembers that McDonald's Playland more than the Eclipse.
Definitely.
Right.
I guarantee you he did, and that's a wonderful memory for him. That was the same with me when we would go to Kings Island, and then when we were driving back home, we'd stop at Chuck E. Cheese. I just loved Chuck E. Cheese way more than I did Kings Island as a kid. Chuck E. Cheese was my favorite thing on earth.
Does anybody here – you came from far away, and you came from – Jake, nobody
very
here,
far away.
Nobody, well, I'm saying none of you spent your childhoods in Vegas.
No.
Oh, you poor bastards.
Yeah, we all moved to Las Vegas as adults.
There was a Chuck E. Cheese on the corner of Vegas Drive and Decatur.
Okay.
That was amazing.
I'll bet.
It had a gigantic obstacle course in it. It had these different areas. The whole thing was set up to be a jungle-like arcade.
Wow. All right.
And I cannot tell you how much of my childhood was spent there.
Paul is fully erect.
I am. I am Tumescent. Did they have all the robots there? Which bands did they have?
They had the whole lineup of like the whole crew singing, and they had an Elvis lion robot called the King.
The King,
and I think they had hound dogs that were the Beagles.
Yes, the Beagles, and then they had the
Beagles.
The Beach Bears were another
sing,
one.
Did they sing the Bengals songs?
They sang Bengals songs.
What were the Beagles saying?
They were the Beatles. They were the Beatles.
Oh, the Beatles. Beatles.
They were the Beagles, but the logo was designed to look like the Beatles, but it was the Beatles.
So instead of a Hard Day's Night, it was a Rock Hard Day's Night.
But there are certain key memories. Like my mom was very good at earning, making ends meet as a single mom.
Okay.
And she was fairly artistic, and she painted Christmas windows for a lot of businesses. Okay. And so she did some for Chuck E. Cheese. And the manager was really pleased with what she did. And as we were sitting there one night having our, little hot dog or pizza or whatever, the manager comes over. He's like, "Hey, I see you guys are all here. I wanted to tell you we really like the Christmas windows you painted." And he takes out this sack and empties onto our table a volcano of tokens. There must have been hundreds and hundreds of tokens. And you have these little touch sparks of adrenaline running through your head that forms a core memory. And I was just like,
Also, it's just all that lead. That lead really just triggers the memory centers in your brain.
That was a very happy day.
Yeah.
That was a very, very happy childhood day.
That's a very good day. Yeah, my kids growing up here don't have shit like that.
Chuck E. Cheese is different. It's so different now.
It's just whack.
Here's some tickets. Let's just be honest.
Let's just be brutally honest.
It's all gone.
It's not
digital.
Cool anymore. Yeah.
It's all digital.
It's not cool anymore.
Yeah. You wear your little wristband and they zap it and then they get to ride
the
around.
They lost the fucking plot, man.
They even took COVID took out all this. They used to have all these indoor crawl spaces and play places that were a little more physical.
Oh, yeah, they don't have those.
They took them all out because when COVID, no one wanted their kid to go into closed space and share air with other children. Mm. And so now it's just all games. Yeah. But the pizza's at least terrible.
Yeah.
The same recipe on the pizza.
You can go to McDonald's Playlands. They do still have some crawl spaces there.
I still love that shitty pizza. I like shitty pizza.
You like Pasquale's pizza?
Oh my God.
Pasquale, I do. I mean, now shitty is very, I don't like it if it tastes really nasty, but if it tastes cheapy, kind of, I'm down.
I'm actually with you, Paul. I like all pizza. I like all kinds of pizza. And I do have a soft spot in my heart for bad, cheap pizza.
Tostinos?
Total basic.
Totinos?
Yeah.
But isn't
bread pizzas, some of those.
Like, isn't Chuck E. Cheese, isn't it also not that cheap?
Well, that's the hard part. It's expensive.
Not anymore.
No, it's expensive bad pizza, which you're right.
Yeah.
That kind of loses something for me.
Yeah.
Because if the pizza is a dollar, there's little Totino's frozen pizzas that you can buy in the grocery store.
Yes.
They're like a buck each.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, I'll almost always have some of those in my freezer.
Right.
Because every now and then at 2 a.m. I'll be like, you know what I want right now? Little Totino's frozen pizza. 15 minutes later, I've got a little pizza.
Let's do it.
But they're a buck each.
Yeah.
If they tasted like that and they were $20 a piece, I'd never buy them.
Yeah.
I swear that harkens back to elementary school lunches.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Where you're like, oh, it's pizza day.
It was the crappiest pizza ever.
That's the best.
And you had the lunch trays that had the special molded spot that the pizza just fit right into.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, I have romantic memories of going to a Nets game.
Uh-huh.
And then they had super bad, cheap stadium pizza.
What game was she playing?
She was playing this game called Skip It.
Okay.
Beach Blanket Bingo.
She has the thing on her wrist.
That's what a net
plays. She puts her one leg and she skips it.
And that was very popular.
Fucking 40,000 people showed up to watch that.
I believe it.
But I still remember getting a really fucking cheap-ass roller rink pizza.
Right.
At the Nets game. Fucking cheap pizza. Yes, please.
The pepperonis aren't round pepperonis. They're little chopped, tiny little cubes. The way you would dice a carrot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There we go. That's right.
Yeah. It's late, but it's here. Yep. Party cubes of pepperoni.
When Gray escorted me from, he drove me from Austin to San Antonio, and we stopped at a gas station. They had just put out a bunch of fresh gas station pizza, and I was like, yes. I'll take a couple slices of that, please.
I think that's an oxymoron. Fresh gas station pizza?
That's right. The woman was bragging about how much extra cheese she put on that round, that batch.
Nice.
As we were bringing it up. She's like, I made this one. Look at this. Look how much cheese I put on. I put on cheese. I actually, Gray, I wish Gray were here. We actually couldn't stop her from telling us the same fact over and over again. She would not stop telling us how she put extra cheese on the pizza and made it really cheesy. It was a real cheesy batch that she had just made. She just put out.
I remember we were living in San Francisco when pro sports franchises started kind of swinging towards having gourmet food.
And I might get fired. Fuck it. Cheese it. Yeah. Over cheese it. There goes my pension.
I did not like when pro sports franchises started putting out good food.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine going to a baseball game and eating just a shitty hot dog.
Yeah.
That's what I'm there to do.
Yeah.
I don't want like a super nice, like, artisanal sandwich.
No.
You know, hold on, our panini press is acting up a little bit. Let me see if it'll work for you. Like, no, I'm just gonna be a fucking hot dog. I'm fine.
No, like when the Bruce concert,
right?
The higher end things they offer the menu or whatever for if you get those special places. What are they called? Boxes.
In the boxes.
Boxes. So Wagyu beef hot dog.
Yeah.
What?
It's like, what the fuck? If that's the only time I'm taking in like Wagyu beef, I want it in fucking cased meat form.
Right.
And like deep fried form. Like, why are we doing this with
Wagyu
beef?
Make an old cased meat sandwich with some Wagyu beef.
It's like, and the whole point is to have a...
Have you guys seen some of the food options you can get at the Sphere?
Yes. No.
That, yeah, like we had the meatballs. They were quite good.
I'm sure.
But everything is like, oh, $28 for, you know, a little, it wasn't even a pizza. They called it a sphere, a slice of sphere.
Gross.
Oh,
that's so lazy. That's so can't call it pizza. No, we're for a sphere. Call it sphere.
Sphere.
I got to go pick up my kids. It's sphere. Write it down. Go. I got to go, guys.
And I took umbrage with the fact that they didn't change the word meatballs to meat spheres.
Right.
Because meatballs are more spherical than pizzas.
Somebody got lazy.
Well, small claims court. Let's go.
It's because that guy had to go pick up his kids.
The people versus the sphere.
Yeah.
And really kind of, it's sort of a metaphor of what's happened to Vegas itself. Have you guys, all of the cheap food I remember in my youth is
gone.
Now, and we've got celebrity chefs. We've got very high-end eating options. And I hear complaints all the time from tourists saying, I can't get shrimp cocktail anymore.
Where's my $3 shrimp cocktail?
I want this. I want that. And I'm like, they still have the prime rib special at the California Club.
And Terribles has a couple of spots.
Terribles doesn't exist anymore. It's now Silver Sevens.
Yeah. But they
wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. Terribles is gone?
The casino. The gas stations are still there.
I was going to flip out. I was going to be like, are you kidding me? I threw away that air freshener with the head. I would have kept it forever.
No, but you're right, because recently I traveled to New York and Paris with my family.
Uh-huh.
And was surprised at how affordable both places were.
Right.
Las Vegas has gotten so fucking expensive.
By the way, if you were trying to connect the dots here, the reason Matt doesn't have $5,000 in his bank account is because he traveled to New York and Paris with his family.
That part's true.
Yeah.
That took a significant chunk.
I'm just reporting. I'm not making a joke. I'm just reporting.
A significant chunk. I saw your
In my defense, it wasn't like on a whim.
Right.
In my defense, we've been definitely for over 2 years.
Yeah.
Trying to do a credit card points program that my friend walked us through to pull it off.
Yeah.
But yes, that part is true.
No.
I saw the little promo you did for your magic show in front of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember thinking, you know, he could have done this much cheaper. Just on the strip.
I just happened to be there.
Yeah.
I got shows coming from Cincinnati. I'll probably do it in front of the Eiffel Tower and the Paris casino.
I'll tell you who else is going to Eiffel Tower themselves in front of the Paris casino.
Anything
in the
for Cincinnati.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Anything for Cincinnati.
And that's the following sponsor.
Today's show is brought to you by Skull for Your Hole, the world's first rectal tobacco chew from Dungeon Scoop and Dragon Scoop. This is from 2022, guys. This has been marinating.
Oh, marinating Skull is not good.
Skull for your hole.
7 a.m. That's the time when a man wakes up to do his chores. That's the time when the world is a little bit slower. Pace is a little bit quieter. You can almost smell the butterflies floating in for their morning nectar. And that's when you reach for a little can of smokeless tobacco. But I'm here to tell you, there are a few things worse in this world than mouth cancer. So why not cram that shit up your ass? Go ahead and take a pinch between gum and gum, bum and bum, right up in there, right up in that pink hole. Go ahead and stuff a little snuff where the sun don't shine. It's way better than having your goddamn jaw rot off your face, trust me. And honestly, even if you get some kind of thing going on down there, you're not going to smell it like you would. Because when your face goes rotten, when your lower mandible goes south of cheese, you smell that every day. You smell your body rotting away. You smell.
When
you wake up smelling.
When your face goes a rotten, don't come and knock it. When your face goes a rotten, chop some skull in your butt.
Just do it. Just stick this up your little pink hole. Good, and have yourself a good
morning. Oh, it's not pink.
Oh, it's not?
Well, oh, no, it is not pink.
It will be after a few treatments of this snuff.
Enter Hay Scoops to check out. Matt and Madeline's Ice Cream Social does not recommend you put skull up your butt.
I mean, I say pink. It'll be a kind of red from irritation.
It'll be irritated red.
Your face is rotten from chewing chaw all day.
Irritated Red might be the episode title today.
Irritated Red is a fine episode title.
I know a couple of ER doctors, and I'm going to have to ask them because you know somebody has tried that.
Oh, yeah.
Rectal, well, I didn't just try
tobacco. Somebody out there has done that.
I did chewing suppositories for 8 years, and then one night my wife saw me bend over to pick something up off the floor when I was in my birthday suit, and she thought for sure a bonobo was trying to escape from my rectum. I said, no, sweetheart, those are just the sores and polyp growths that come from long-term nicotine abuse on the beehole.
Animal fact, the human anus can stretch up to about 6 inches without permanent damage.
Yeah.
And a raccoon, the average size raccoon, can fit in a space about 4 inches in diameter.
Why'd you bring those two things up, Jacob?
No reason. My butt.
We are getting some of the best products out
here. Two girls, one trash panda? Is that what's going on here?
That's it.
Oh.
Celestia, you went on like a fever dream last Scoop Fest.
Yeah, that was memorable.
You called me up. You said, I'm coming in. I'm going to draw caricatures for you guys. It's for free, but there are rules.
That's the key. See, yeah. I work corporate events.
Yeah.
I work kids' birthday parties.
Yes.
I'm not a carny artist anymore, and I kind of miss that.
You used to be.
Because you can sort of get away with some stuff at a carnival.
Right.
Right.
There's not, you know, the hotel management is not present at a carnival.
What do you get away with at a carnival that you can't get away with at like the Bellagio Supper Club or something?
Oh, you can curse at people occasionally. Okay. You can, you know, like the last day of the Texas State Fair is always people, oh, are you done? Are you done? Are you done? I just turn around and say, I am so fucking done.
Yeah.
You have no idea how done I am.
I've been
doing this for 24 days, 12 hours a day. Get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't do that at the Venetian.
Yeah.
Where I have also done caricatures.
Okay.
You can put up samples of questionable taste.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A big bulging dong on a guy or something like that.
Well, not exactly. I'm trying to think here. But
at these parties. Bulging.
But at these parties.
That's all I would do with my character. Just draw them perfectly. Everyone has a huge bulging dong. Yeah.
That'd be your gag. Your signature
even
gag.
The dog, the kid, the parrot, whatever.
Is that a full-grown raccoon in those pants?
That's right. Ooh,
let's go get our pictures drawn by Matt Bulging Dong Donnelly. Oh, Bulging Dong Donnelly. He's the best. He does the greatest.
Why do they call him Bulging Dong?
Look at this picture of our baby.
The way he draws.
Oh.
His penis is tiny, but if you look at the way he draws.
It's bulging. It's Bulging Dong.
But I told you guys that I would be happy to come draw caricatures.
Yes.
Don't pay me.
Yes.
And in return, I will do whatever the fuck I want.
Yes.
Great.
And I will tap into the deep, dark recesses of my brain.
That's right.
And since I did that gig, I mean, I was...
You called me, and then you laid down those rules, and the undertone was like I was like talking to Liam Neeson from Taken. Like, it was like, this is what's going to go down.
I have a certain
you
set
ask
of skills.
You will say
draw
the
filthiest
out of my
pictures
way.
You can imagine.
I will draw whatever the fuck I want, and then you will pay me nothing. And I was like, yeah, just leave my family alone. And then you came in, and indeed, you drew the filthiest.
I drew Scoop sat down,
and you drew them doing
of,
yes. just gross sexual shit with each other, and it was hilarious.
And see, since I've had a whole year to think about
I don't
that.
Think right. I saw any of these.
Really?
Get out of here.
I know.
It happened during the Jock versus Dirtball.
Yeah. I was running around a lot.
I got
at
a
that
bunch
point.
Of pictures of them because I thought they were.
Yeah, oh, I got good. Pictures of them too.
Oh, good.
Well, I got to brag about that event to fellow caricature artists
oh.
who were all jealous because all of us are filthy, perverted people.
Right.
Sick people in the head. And when
oh, wait, does that mean you're going to bring a crew of perverted caricature artists
no,
in
oh,
the Scoop Fest
this
year?
Like the weird Deadpool sequel? Is this if you roll in with more people?
If we could get Andy Taylor out here at the right time, I'm sure he'd love
we
to.
Want, we love it.
You know, nah, Andy has carte blanche. Anytime he wants to show up, he's welcome. I know he's busy
Absolutely.
All the time with stuff going on, but you
F
know,
Andrew Taylor.
He knows he can come to anything, any event. He's working on. He's got.
He did characters at like the early Hillbill shows.
He's oh, yeah? got the yeah. The sequel to Christmapuss drawn up. We're getting closer, so
I've heard that before.
No, it's I've got the art in my files.
I got the whole art in my files.
I do.
Is this? Are you looking forward to doing it again? Does it feel less of a visceral thing? Do you feel pressure to do it differently? How are you feeling right now? Heading into the
Scoop
Fest?
I'll probably do some practice before I get there this
okay.
year, rather
okay.
than completely winging it. I'll probably, you know, have a couple of gags that I can whip out a little bit easier and faster and smoother.
Got it.
I will definitely be taking pictures of everything. And one thing I like is the fact that you guys are probably the only safe place where I can do caricatures like this. And also kind of like people can say, oh, can you draw me like this and this and this? No, sit down. Fuck you. I'm going to draw you however I want.
Yes.
And I put up a sign to that effect. And
yes.
You can't do that at a carnival, even. You can't put up a sign that says, I'm going to draw you however the fuck I want. Sit down and shut up.
Right.
I wish you could.
But, right.
So it's a little bit of just id exercise for
Disclaimers
me.
Disclaimers only go so far.
Yeah.
I mean, that even feels like something that you would be able to do at a carnival. That feels like a fun, you know, kind of like a thing that some carnivals would be game for.
Yeah.
But I guess not.
You know, people are so touchy these days.
Yeah.
Friends of mine just worked the Miami State Fair.
Okay.
The Miami-Dade Youth
well,
Fair.
Well, I guess they're also paying at that point. At that
and
point
when you're
too.
Paying,
yeah.
when you're paying, you get very, you know, people, oh, and oh, I want, you know, they're used to taking 15 selfies and picking their favorite
sure.
one.
Right.
So there's a little bit more vanity concern than there used to be, I think. But you know, then I got to say, however, in Hawaii, I don't know if you guys have seen the TikToks of some of the really extreme caricature artists in Hawaii.
No.
Jacob, you are playing coy. You do nothing but study Hawaiian caricature TikTok artists.
Hold on. No, I'm a fish.
Oh, that's good.
Now I'm playing coy.
That's good. Look at his giant dong. I drew that. All right.
Draw him like a howlie, and you'll do no time.
That's just where they happen to settle. They're over in. Actually, one was in.
So Hawaii people are cool with extreme caricatures.
Well, tourists. It's a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
And I know people who have actually arranged entire trips to go get a caricature from the really brutal extreme caricature artists over at Caricature Party.
Paul, we are in the wrong business, buddy.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you might, I guarantee caricature. You'll see them on TikTok. They
yeah.
get very extreme. They don't give a shit about your ego.
Right.
And the people are okay with it because that's kind of the environment they've
it's a form of roasting.
Curated.
Right.
Yeah, it's a roast.
I follow
yeah.
a couple of Chinese caricature artists as well.
Uh-huh.
And they go pretty extreme with it too. I'm not
really?
Making a joke there. That's just the truth.
Okay. It's not like a big
what
setup.
Are their names?
I'd have to look it up. I'd have to look it up. I think it's Chinese characters. I can't make heads or tail of any of the writing and everything, but it's just
but they're real mean.
I just appreciate the art. It's just great. And it's,
also when you have a billion plus people to choose from, you can piss a few of them off and your business is still fine.
Well, I think it's one of those right. situations where it is there's got to be some kind of understanding because the drawings are extreme. They're not grotesque per se, but they're extreme as far as the caricaturing goes, like tiny little eyes on a giant head kind of thing, and that kind of stuff. And
okay,
and you know, or if somebody's got like a slightly big chin, like suddenly the chin is half the page.
Yeah,
like really big. But every time they turn it around and give it to the people, they're just
besides themselves with laughter, and they're ready for it. They're ready for it.
There's a cultural difference, and
yes,
I'd be curious to see if these were Chinese or Japanese caricature artists.
You found out here first, everyone. There is a cultural difference between here and China.
Well, and China and Japan, believe it or not.
Specifically with caricatures.
Maybe.
I remember one of my first international
conventions.
Yeah. As like a 19-year-old caricature artist getting into the field, I went to one of my first international conventions, and we met the Japanese contingent. And there were like, 20 Japanese artists. And I'm looking through some of their portfolios, and they're, they're photographs of live people that they've drawn. And I'm looking at, I'm like, how are you getting away with this? Because there was like a young mother with her baby. And the mother had kind of a little bit of janked up teeth and a little bit of an overbite. And in the caricature that she is holding up and smiling as she shows the camera, she is eating the head of her baby.
Right.
With these giant crocodile teeth.
Yes.
Ripping into the skull of her infant, And I'm like, they paid you for this. I want to move to Japan for a while.
But you probably don't realize there is a fairly large cultural difference between Japan and the United States of America. I mean, they're different places entirely.
Our children don't have a reputation for being delicious.
That's true.
And I think that's where it starts.
I meant that in a nuanced way, like specifically when looking at a cartoon of a human face. You process it differently depending on where you... And I don't want to develop bad cultural stereotypes, but every caricature artist I know, when some Indian people come who are clearly from India, keep going, oh, you're going to sit for me, okay, they're not going to like this. Because there's a...
You always make them look like Dhalsim from Street Fighter? They got super long arms and the breathing fire.
For whatever
screaming
reason.
Yoga. Yoga flame.
Yoga flame.
Yoga fire. Yoga flame. Yoga.
Now, if it's an Indian family from England, from London, they're all about it.
Right.
All about it. But for some reason, especially the older generation.
Yeah.
If it's an Indian woman over the age of 60 from India, you're like, I'm going to waste the next 10 minutes.
You just got to make her look like Mary. Yeah.
I've been told that people in India have a different culture than we have here in the United States of America.
Sorry, you spoke so fast. Can you run that by me one more time?
A different culture.
Huh.
I have heard that
they look at things differently.
Some of them speak a different language than we speak here in America.
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it true that saffron rice can decrease your sense of humor? Is that true?
Based on the price of saffron, yes. I was
say, paying for it, it takes away my sense of humor. Well, Celestia, we're looking forward to having you at Scoop Fest
again. Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Nerd Ball again.
It'll be a blast.
I know you have to go soon, but we're going to some scoop mail. You just leave whenever you need to leave.
You got
it. I know you have a tight deadline.
Here's a little scoop mail.
Message for you, sir.
From Froyog Soft Serve. Hey, Matt, Paul, and Jacob, 10 fucking years. That's right. We hit 10 years of this podcast. Congratulations on making it to this point. I wanted to expand on the self-reflection theme with regards to your podcast. When I started listening to your fine program, it was because I really liked Matt on PSS.
Yay!
That doesn't sound like many people.
Yeah.
It didn't take long for Paul to win me over, and then Jacob came along, and I quickly came to appreciate what he brings, which is microphones. Microphones is what I brought.
Microphones and recording equipment, yes.
That's right. 10 years ago, I was in a strange place personally. I was between anxiety medications in a weird place with my job because of an asshole supervisor and going through some discontent with my old band in the lead up to releasing our last album. Ice Cream Social was a much needed bright spot in my life. I devoured the show. At first, it was just because y'all were funny as fuck. As you evolved, you shared more personality and authenticity in the show. It's because we have a different culture.
Yeah.
You injected sincerity, seriousness when needed, and tons of humility. That had an effect on me. That's been said to me before. I'm just pausing the scoop mail for a second. That's been said to me before. I think our first serious episode back in the day was the day that Robin Williams passed away.
Yeah.
Because Robin died maybe like an hour before we had an episode to record.
Yeah.
and it hit all of us hard. And I've been told by quite a few people over the years, it's more than one, that episode really kind of cemented us with them, which right. is very interesting to me.
That is. Lord knows it's not the jokes, you know?
No.
It's got to be something else.
That's it. You guys talked about improv, life experiences, parenting, and so many other important topics. Well, and improv.
We are the number one parenting podcast by a mile.
Yeah. Don't leave your kids locked in a car.
Fill their house with skull.
As a listener, I absorbed it. I appreciated all you shared.
Like skull.
There was advice in there, and I took it to heart. I became calmer, more present, less stressed. Some of this may have been due to finding a good anxiety med, but I give more of the credit to you guys because
so much of your improv talk
is what plays in my head when I feel a situation getting stressful.
Ice cream social. Throw away your Zoloft.
You know, I mean, the teaching improv, Paul and I have done that. Or I don't know why I started talking like Yoda. Teaching improv, Paul and I have.
Yes. Yes, and?
Labeling interactive dynamics is one of the most powerful things you can do. We go for companies, we do it with improv classes, whatever you do. When people leave with a class, it's my argument for when people like to go like, you know what, I've heard a lot of people compare improv stuff to like cults.
Oh yeah.
And I hear it like they're the first person to fucking tell me that.
Right. Yeah.
And I would say like, well, that's if you believe you learned absolutely nothing in your classes and you only paid dues trying to rise up to the top of the pyramid. But I would argue that a lot of people are very content to just take a couple improv classes, figure out some interactive dynamic stuff, and feel more empowered to every time they talk to someone.
Right.
So, and they don't go like, I got out of that cult.
Yeah.
It's not the reaction of the person who stopped taking improv classes
and
after level two.
We are outliers, you and I, Mr. Donnelly.
Yeah.
Most people do get out of that cult.
Right.
We just hung around because we're old dogs and whatever that magic sauce that improv gives our brains, we still crave that fix.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, to the point where...
I mean, I got out of it. I did some improv in college and was like, great.
Right, yeah. Right. Most people do.
You were like, God, that cult.
Most people do. But there are a handful of folks that will stick with it throughout their life.
Right.
But it's kind of rare. I think Liz Allen is in that category.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tina and
Amy,
absolutely, right? You know,
yeah.
Besser still does a lot of improv.
Some of what
stuff.
Fro Yoga is talking about here too is also a result of us having to talk for 3 hours a week,
right?
Like we have to talk so much, and so when you just have to talk that much, you're inevitably, I think, going to start diving into some stuff and start exploring some stuff that you might not explore otherwise.
Yeah,
and that can be helpful as well.
And that's a very American cultural thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't do that shit in India.
Very different.
In India, they don't talk. Yeah. I've shared a few times that ICS saved my creativity. That is not hyperbole. It's legit. I was playing in a cover band that would spend money making an original record, then play the smallest handful of those original songs, favoring stale bar bands, covers, and Springsteen bangers instead. I was hating it and feeling no joy or fulfillment. I felt no pleasure picking up my guitar. You guys changed that. I took a swing and reached out to Matt about moving the Bucket Show Periscopes to YouTube. They performed the Spanish Job song. I grabbed my guitar and figured out how to play it. I recorded a surf guitar version of it for myself. It ended up being used on a later Bucket Show video when I needed to cover up background music to avoid copyright strikes. I made jingles that Jacob received and lost. So few have ever made the fresh fresh stats jingle that I made. Fair.
See how good we are?
Yep.
We're so good.
We're good at this. But then some made it through and became staples like physical scoop mail, Vegas parking and weather, etc. After a few years, I decided that I would... I mean, not playing them is a comment.
Sleep is an opinion.
After a couple of years, I decided that I would start making music for me again. You guys are seriously a big part of why the plague physicians are a thing.
Yeah.
When I say ICS is responsible for reigniting my creative spark, I am not exaggerating. I've made long-distance friends because of the community that you fostered. Y'all invited me to Pittsburgh for episode 1000, where I got to meet some of my favorite Scoops in person. I'm not much of a hugger in general, but Scoops are immediately... imminently huggable fuckers. The first person I saw at the venue was Jacob, and the first thing he did was hug me. I remember that. I was so excited to see him.
Yeah.
I got out of the car, and he just standing there. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a day. I had to talk to my therapist about how weird it felt to be around so many people who were as happy to meet me as I was them. It was overwhelming in the best possible way. It really does serve as a testimony to the community that you built. When my family experienced losses, you guys were in my ear holes. Most recently, when I lost my dad, it made me feel so warm when you guys shouted out to me on the show. I could go on. I think I have shared enough, though. All this to say that you do wonderful and important work. It's appreciated by so many, and I feel like I can sincerely say that I love you guys. Thank you for everything. Can't wait to see what the future brings while y'all keep doing this. Your pal, Justin, a.k.a. Froyo Soft Serve. Well, Justin, a.k.a. Froyo Soft Serve, fuck you.
Yeah, buddy. I'm sorry you left your dad in the car when you went into the store to buy some butt skull.
Butt skull. Oh, butt skull.
You'll find that septuagenarians are pretty much just infants in reverse. It's sort of like the whole thing they did on Mork and Mindy.
Justin, thank you for the email. Yeah. Love you, buddy.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Pretty much.
Almost identical.
I'll tell you what else is almost identical. The butt whooping you two are about to get.
Oh, bullshit. Let's go. Let's dance.
It's not for John Price.
Let's fucking dance.
The skull right out of your butt.
No, don't whip it out of my butt. Whip it into my butt.
I said whip it.
It's not too late.
Whip it good.
Whip it good. Of butt skull.
Butt skull.
Pop. We got a scooperty coming at us today from Cameron Mount. The categories are wrestling shit, magic shit, music shit, and shit. That's poopery.
All right. We love the poopery.
Let's see. I'll start top left corner. I'll go wrestling shit for 200. Hulk Hogan joined the WCW and turned heel in the NWO. He dyed his goatee black and blonde and took on what new city-based name?
Oh,
I remember that. That was Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
That's right.
That would be
Milwaukee.
Poughkeepsie Hogan.
Poughkeepsie Hogan. Kissimmee Hulk Hogan.
Matt.
I'll take potpourri for 200.
Somebody needs to come in with the Kissimmee kid. The fighting Kissimmee kid.
This animal produces the largest shit by volume in one shitting.
Oh, man.
What animal produces the most shit by volume? Is it going to be like a prawn?
No.
Right. Yeah.
It's the biggest animal.
What's the thing? Is it land animal or sea animal?
That's why they're doing it this way. And they're saying volume because it's all kind of liquidy.
Because it's super loud?
Yep.
I'll say a blue whale.
That's what I'm
thinking. Let's try it. The blue whale, whose shit averages about 50 gallons.
All right.
That's a lot of shit.
That's that'll fill up a tank.
Yeah. Paul.
Let's go.
That really just hits Paul's sweet spot right there. It's animal facts and situational awareness.
Yeah, it's two great tastes that go great together.
That is the Venn diagram crossover for Paul Mattingly.
Hit me with wrestling shit, please.
For 400, Stone Cold Steve Austin coined Austin 316 in a famous promo. What does Austin 316 mean?
You got your Proverbs, you got your Psalms, you got your John 316. Austin 316 means I just whooped your ass.
Oh, just whooped your ass. What is I just whipped your ass? I'm sorry, Paul. It's whipped your ass, not whooped your ass.
Uh-huh.
You lose points on that. That's me. I'll try music shit for 200. As of 2024, the average song produced today is about how long within 30 seconds? Ooh.
Oh.
I will guess. I'll take a stab at it. I'll guess 2 minutes, 45 seconds.
That's a good 45. Guess. Very solid guess.
Let's see. Oh, 3 minutes, 42 seconds.
So close.
So just close. Out of it.
That's
just
longer than I thought it would be. That's, I'm glad to hear
it. Blame
it's
Reno. I blame Reno. It's
yeah, Reno
song.
Really pushed up the average.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Pushed it right up there with the skull.
That's right. Matt, you're up.
I'll do Potpourri for 400, please.
Let's see here. This famous black and white slasher film was the first Hollywood movie to feature an on-screen shitter.
Oh, yeah. First time a toilet was ever shown on screen.
Oh,
really?
Oh, is that?
Is it Psycho?
Yeah.
Psycho. Maybe.
Let's try Psycho. It is Psycho.
It is. I wanted everyone
to
have
wrap my brain around the fact that it was just an on-screen toilet, not an on-screen person shitting.
Hoping that everyone could join me in mentally envisioning when what's her name? What's the lady's name? Fuck. Fucking lost it.
Good bit. Paul, you're up.
It was a good bit. I got it again. I wanted everyone in the audience to join me in envisioning Vivian Leigh taking a big deuce. There you go. Okay. Wrestling shit.
Glad we got back for that.
Yeah, it was worth it.
Mick Foley had three main gimmicks during his time in professional wrestling. The most famous of these personas was Mankind. Name either of the other two.
He had Dude Love and Cactus Jack.
I'm sorry, it said named either. You named both. That's no points. Cactus Jack or Dude Love is correct. It's bang, bang. Me. I'll close out wrestling shit for 800. The Undertaker has the longest reign at WrestleMania or as WrestleMania champion with 21 wins, known as the streak, starting in WrestleMania 7. Which wrestler did he beat to start the streak? Oh, shit. Okay.
That's a good one.
I know it was Brock Lesnar.
Kissimmee Hogan.
That's yeah. It.
Kissimmee Hogan.
I'm gonna do the job for you, brother. I'm gonna let you start your streak.
Put you over. Yep. Kissimmee Hogan. Put you over.
Kissimmee's gonna give you the rub.
That's WrestleMania 7 Undertaker. I don't know why I'm thinking about this like it's gonna come to me.
I don't know
Matt,
why either.
No, you're up. Paul.
Yeah, this is I'm trying to think of who was big then.
I was excited for a second because I was like, oh, I know it's Brock Lesnar. Oh, that's not the question.
And who it might have been. I honestly don't know.
Let's see. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Holy shit. The murderer.
Would you have gotten there, Paul? Would
no,
you have gotten with Superfly?
I would not have gotten there. Fuck that guy. Fuck Superfly forever.
Why? You murder one person. It's only you're a bad person.
Allegedly.
He's terrible. He's terrible, motherfucker.
Matt, you're up. You got magic shit, music shit, and shit shit.
Potpourri for 600.
Daily Devil! This ancient form of life makes up between 50 and 80% of the shit that burst from the average human's keister during a regular bowel movement.
What?
This ancient form of life makes up between 50 and 80% of the shit that burst from the average human's keister during a regular bowel movement.
What is mummies? What is mummies?
Poop mummies?
Poop mummies. Bam, blam.
Mummies alive.
Ancient form of life?
Ancient form of
ancient life. Form of life, huh?
Is this going to be like red blood cells?
That's what I'm trying to wonder.
No, it's easier
amoebas?
Than you guys are thinking. It's easier than you guys are thinking.
Is it not amoeba?
It's not amoeba.
Paramecium?
Is it a yuba?
It's a yuba.
Carbon?
Carbon is not alive. That's the distinct factor of carbon. Life is made up of carbon.
Keep being condescending to me, Matt.
Life is made up of carbon, but carbon itself is not a lie.
You can say that without the laughter.
No, I can't. Just let me know. I can't. You guessed carbon as an ancient life form, and it made me giggle.
I'd help you here if I could.
Paul, do you want to give me any hints, or should I just guess carbon?
I wanted points.
It's a daily double.
It's a daily double, you dickhead.
Oh, okay. All right.
You can see it on the screen.
Then I'll give you a hint.
This is what happens when Paul starts taking the game seriously.
I know.
Okay.
I'm glad we got to this point in the show.
If you were weeping.
Uh-huh.
And you walked into the entranceway of a high school eatery.
Yes.
Cryoteria?
And then you decided to leave the same way you came in without turning around.
Back.
Reverse criteria.
I'll deal with reverse criteria, Jacob.
Reverse criteria? Let's see.
Yeah. Oh, bacteria.
Bacteria.
Ah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
You were right there. I gave it to you.
Sure.
Oh, you're up.
I'm okay with my life.
You wanted a hint, and I'm gave fine. You the hint, and you said the word. What happened? Okay. All right. I'll go with.
I wanted to go home.
I was really hoping that Paul would be wrong about what the answer to that question was.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Music ship. For
Paul, you're up.
Music ship for 400, please.
Daily Devil.
There we go. Bacteria.
Okay, let's see.
No.
The very first album to go platinum was by this light rock band hated by Jeff Bridges, the dude in the Big Lebowski.
Oh, fuck. It's the Eagles.
Paul, think about if you walked into a Pizza Hut with your pants around your ankles.
It's the Eagles.
Pizza Hut, Hut, Hut?
The Eagles? Let's see. It's the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, you sure did.
Bacteria.
It's amazing. Don, we're not rooting for you after you were so condescending to me.
Don Henley.
Fuck Don Henley.
Don Henley is bacteria.
I'll go shit for 800.
Carbon.
In milliliters, the average human produces this much volume of flatulence in a regular given day within 500 milliliters. I don't even know where to begin to guess.
I couldn't.
What I do know is I woke up the other day. I woke up the other morning.
Here comes a skull tuck.
I woke up the other morning and I was like, I have to shit. I got out of bed and I went into the bathroom to take what I was thinking was going to be a really nice morning deuce. And it was the longest, loudest fart that I have produced, I believe, in my life. It was surprising. It was shocking.
Oh, no.
I don't know where it came from. I'd eaten a bowl of rice with some tuna fish in it the night before.
Yeah, that'll do it.
No, it wouldn't do it. I eat that all the time.
Was it brown rice?
No, it was regular white rice.
Saffron? That was your sense of humor escaping.
No saffron.
Okay. What did the crying have to do with bacteria?
Tear.
Got it.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Bacteria.
Milliliters, average produced within 500 milliliters. Volume of...
What did the crying have to do?
I don't know. 2,000 milliliters.
Because
1,000 milliliters.
Just bacteria would get you there, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
You said back cafeteria. You were close.
Matt, you're up. You want magic shit or music shit?
What are the scores, Jacob?
Let's see. You have 0. Paul has 2,000. I have negative 800 because I just guessed on flatulence.
On flatulence. All right. Give me magic for 400.
All right. Although often colloquially called the bullet catch, what is the name that Penn and Teller use for their version of the trick? Ready Rich often corrects anyone who gets it wrong.
Magic bullets.
The magic bullets is correct.
Magic bullets.
Paul.
Bullets of pure love.
Magic or music?
I will take music, please.
All right. Metallica caused the scene in the music industry or music sharing industry when it took action to shut down what music sharing service popular among college students of the late 90s?
That would be Napster.
Napster is correct.
Napster.
So I'll try Napster. Music shit for 800.
Napster don't pay me, so fuck them all.
As of the end of 2023, how come I keep getting these questions?
I don't know.
I keep getting these fucking questions.
Bad luck.
As of the end of 2023, this many Americans have paid music streaming service subscriptions within 10 million.
That's a thing that no one knows, Jacob.
Exactly.
That's really tough.
65 million.
65 million.
That's a good guess.
96.8 million.
Oh.
I'm just getting them wrong.
That's a really good guess.
Magic shit for 200, 600, or 800. It wasn't that good of a guess.
800, please.
Considered the father of modern magic, this French performer was most famous for his orange tree illusion and for a later magician who took his last name and added the letter I to it.
Robert Houdin.
And I keep knowing the other questions that you guys get.
Yeah.
Robert Houdin. Jean Eguin Robert Houdin. Paul, you want magic for 200 or 600?
Let's do 600, please.
All right. Before his death in 2022, the amazing Jonathan had a YouTube show / podcast that was known as this.
Delightful.
Oh, fuck. What was that show called? I had to pass. I can't remember it.
That passes to me. I vaguely remember this, but I can't think of it.
I don't remember it.
Let's see. Burn Unit.
Mm.
Burn Unit. And I'm closing out the category and the game magic ship for 200. This trick where a seemingly endless supply of a seasoning ingredient spills out of the performer is not known as salt pork, but rather a blank. I mean, it's the salt.
All right. Picture walking to a pizza with your pants on your head.
Yep. Yep. But... Done.
You reach in the pockets, but they're not. Not by your waist.
Right.
They're above your head.
Right. Sure.
So you're reaching the thing to pay.
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit. There's no money in there because you're...
Poor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like salt cascade.
I just said that's it.
It's just salt?
No, with the word. I really didn't
No. It's just salt pour. It's a salt pour.
Now you see what I'm feeling.
That's the game. Paul wins with 2,600. Matt's got 1,200. I've got -1,400. That's from Cameron Mount. Thank you, Cameron Mount. If you want to send us a scooper, head over to heyscoops.com right there on the homepage. You can make us a scooper. You can make us Price of Strike Jock versus Nerd. You can make us an Obelisk Jock versus Nerd. Do all the things over there. Oh, and buy your tickets to come to see us at Scoop Fest.
Fucking bunch of bullshit just happened. You turned into me.
I believe he did it on purpose.
I don't think so.
No.
He definitely did.
I tried to make it super weird and obscure, but then also still give the clue at the end.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I want to thank Ben Jeff for creating this podcast.
Thanks, Ben.
And I want to thank the following people who all walked in the pizza wearing Kim Shidu Scoop, Kevin Earls, Kevin Dory, Kevin Chamberlain, Kenneth Soto, Ken Fargie, Kelsey Kandari, Keith Robert Corning Scoop, Keister Sunday, Kay Mathis, Justin Robert Young, Judy Schneider, Juan Galavies, J.R. Rockscoop, Josh Uatar.
These people will all draw your caricature with a throbbing dong. Jeremy Hudson, Jenny Ebarb, Jeff Story, Jeff Loomis, Jeff Libby, Jeff Harris, Jeff Faust, Jed Taxon, Jay Shapiro, Jason Victor, Jason Vasquez, Jason Street, Jason Speckland, Jason Horkostas, Jason Klepper, Janine Lankard, Jameson Fisher, James Hubble, James Dawson, Jake Schneider.
The following people all gave Matt an easy clue and watched him kick it right in the dick. Josh Roberts, Joseph Paul Riro, Joseph Foster, Jordan Campbell, John Boy, Jonathan Swanson, Johnny Parker, John Jacob Skupelheimer, Schmidt, John Holchin, John Glore, John Carter, Joanna Cheek, Jimmy Stonina, Jill Short, and Jesse Rain.
The following people are all carbon-based life forms. Jacob Dinklaker, I Want a Scoop Baby, Imperial Storm Scooper.
Carbon's not alive, you fucking idiot.
Ice Blue, carbon-based. Ice Blue Scoop, Ice Cream Sunday Scoop. Ice Cream Sunday School, Ice Cream Manwich, it's Soto, I Don't Have a Scoop Name, Hillian Scoop, Holly Marshmallow Lightly, Heather Divine Hansen.
And the following scoops are all known as Fullerton Hulk Hogan. He scoops me, he scoops me not. Hatchet Scoop, Gwarthot, Guy Wade, Grill Sergeant Scoops, Green Wolf Scoop, Greater Sunday Scoop, Gray Whitaker, Gizmo Scoop, Gerardo Garcia, George Johnson, George Guskov, a Genetic Scoop, Gene Zink, Gelato Steve, Gelato Problems, Gazpacho Scoop, Gasman Scoop, Garrett Godfrey, Gandalf the Go Fuck Yourself, Galen Diggs, Galactic President Scooperstar McScoops-a-Lot, Galusha Scoop, Fudgy the Whale, Frozen Cusser, Frozen 49th Scoop, Freeze Dried Scoop, Freehold Scoop, Frankie's Tiki Scoop, Flat Kidney, and Fire Monkey Scoop. Thank you all so much.
Oh, man, I'm out here kissing me, brother. I'm playing golf out here, brother. Looking for a foursome, if you know what I mean, brother.
Dude, pickleball, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Thanks a lot. All those people are part of the wonderful group of people who support us over at PreachingFun.com. Join them right now. Go to PreachingFun.com and sign up.
Come visit PreachingFun.com.
Get stickers, artwork, shout-outs on air.
Hanging with your
And if you, unlike me, knew that farts could be measured in milliliters, head on over to fartsinabag.biz.
Farts, 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 fartsinabag.biz.
That's fartsinabag.biz. That, along with Preaching Fun, it takes you over to our Patreon page, where for as little as $2 a month, you can let us know that this show is worth more than $0 to you. Just let us know that. Give us a heads up.
Yeah. Do that.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not too late to go to Scoop Fest. You can just show up at the door at this point.
You can.
We'll just take the money at the door. If you want to buy ahead of time, go to scoopfest.com. The price is the same.
Yep.
Stay at the Orleans. We're there May 9th, 10th, and 11th doing all kinds of events. The schedule is on scoopfest.com.
Absolutely.
And come join us for a fun, fun time.
Yes.
In the meantime, take care of yourselves out there. We love you, and we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
Shove some skull up your carbon-based asshole.
Don't you know that carbon isn't alive? We're preaching fun! See ya!
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.